Retirement isn't what I thought it was. For years, I viewed it as a straightforward financial calculation. Save diligently, apply the 4% withdrawal rule, and enjoy the golden years. How naive that perspective seems now. As Jonathan Clements discovered after a decade of semi-retirement, this life phase is a fascinating intersection of finance, purpose, happiness, family, and legacy. What truly makes retirement successful isn't just having enough money, it's about navigating a substantial life phase that might span a third of your existence, raising countless questions about how to find fulfillment and meaning. The book How to Retire by Christine Benz has become a cultural touchstone for those seeking a more holistic approach to retirement planning, with celebrities and financial experts alike praising its balanced perspective that acknowledges both the financial and emotional aspects of this major life transition. When Michael Fink, a finance PhD and wealth management professor, approaches retirement planning, he focuses not on financial technicalities, but on what truly makes people happy. He visualizes retirement as two rows of 10 dots and one row of 5 dots in a 90-year lifespan, a finite period requiring thoughtful planning beyond money. The pandemic taught us that lack of structure makes time pass quickly without accomplishment, and many retirees struggle without the framework that work once provided. The common fantasy of retirement as a perpetual vacation often falls flat because leisure only feels special when it provides relief from work. When the leisure activity becomes the routine, is it really going to provide the same amount of satisfaction? Michael asks. Rather than focusing solely on bucket list items, he recommends establishing healthy habits early in retirement, creating grooves to follow for decades. Working longer can provide purpose, relationships, and activity that enhance retirement satisfaction. Michael suggests reframing retirement as going control over one's schedule rather than stopping work entirely. The contrast between forced retirement, which takes years to recover from emotionally, versus voluntary retirement highlights how choice affects happiness. For white-collar professionals who enjoyed their work, retirement can mean losing status and the serotonin reward that comes with it. The ideal approach might be continuing work that incorporates enjoyable aspects of your previous career while setting firm boundaries. This balance allows you to maintain purpose and identity while still enjoying newfound freedom. Money itself doesn't create happiness. It's merely an input for activities that bring fulfillment. The best investments for retirement happiness are in personal relationships and health. Physical fitness requires consistent investment now to enable desired retirement activities later. For relationships, maintaining old friendships and living in environments that facilitate social interaction is crucial. By their 80s, apartment dwellers often report greater happiness than house dwellers due to reduced social isolation. Creating habits early in retirement that encourage regular social engagement prevents the downward spiral of isolation that can occur when social skills deteriorate from lack of use. Fritz Gilbert, creator of the Retirement Manifesto blog, brings practical wisdom about the retirement transition. He advises that you'll intuitively know when it's time to retire once your finances are ready. While financial stability forms the foundation, he recommends using your final working year to prepare emotionally and mentally for the transition. Though continuing to work might benefit some retirees through purpose and social engagement, Fritz suggests taking a full year to decline opportunities before committing to anything. This allows time to discover if volunteer work or other pursuits can provide similar fulfillment with greater freedom. Fritz and his wife took a serendipitous approach to retirement rather than rigidly planning every aspect. He uses a bicycle spoke metaphor to describe life's dimensions, noting how retirement dramatically changes some spokes, like work relationships. Their charity, Freedom for Fido, emerged unexpectedly when his wife saw a TV show about building fences for change dogs. Despite having no experience, they established an organization that has now built 100 fences with 200 volunteers. The charity provides purpose, physical activity, and a vibrant social community they call the Fido family, demonstrating how retirement purpose often develops organically rather than through rigid planning. Starting 5 years before retirement, Fritz recommends tracking every dollar spent for at least a year to establish baseline spending. This data becomes crucial for projecting retirement needs. Consider how spending will change. Healthcare costs might increase 5 to 6% annually, while housing costs could decrease through downsizing. When contemplating relocation, visit potential areas multiple times and imagine daily life there, considering factors like internet access, proximity to activities you enjoy, and community connections. Don't underestimate the social impact of leaving established networks. 3 years before retirement, get granular with tax planning. Consider Roth conversions during the window before required minimum distributions begin, allowing you to optimize your tax burden by controlling how much taxable income you recognize each year. 2 years before retirement, take a mini-retirement to test drive your post-work lifestyle. This involves vacationing to your planned retirement location to focus on psychological and relationship aspects. Discuss he time, she time, and we time with your partner to ensure aligned expectations. 1 year before retirement, use a countdown clock to make the transition feel real. Transfer personal files from work computers, change email subscriptions to personal addresses, and build a cash reserve of 2 to 3 years' worth of expenses to reduce anxiety about the psychological transition from saving to spending. Laura Karstensen, who heads the Stanford Center on Longevity, reveals that while genetics accounts for about 30% of longevity factors, lifestyle choices make up the remaining 70%. Surprisingly, social relationships and happiness are powerful predictors of a long life, perhaps more influential than money, except in cases of extreme poverty. We evolved physiological responses to being part of something, being loved and cared for. As we age, maintaining these connections requires conscious effort, since we have fewer natural social structures supporting us. Our social networks naturally become smaller as we age, and this is actually beneficial. Older adults deliberately prune their networks across midlife, eliminating peripheral or unsatisfying relationships while maintaining emotionally significant connections. This distillation process creates a network of people you genuinely care about and who care about you. When someone from the inner circle is lost, someone slightly outside typically moves in to fill that space. The ideal inner circle contains about 3 or 4 close relationships. Having fewer puts you at risk. Being introverted doesn't doom you to unhappiness. Introverts simply draw energy differently than extroverts, becoming drained rather than energized by social interaction. Complete isolation is problematic, but introversion itself isn't. Diversification is key for retirement satisfaction. Engaging in varied activities rather than just one promotes better health and cognitive fitness. Always seeking to learn something new, whether joining a book club, learning an instrument, or planning your own travel, provides valuable mental stimulation. Maintaining meaningful engagement that provides a sense of purpose through mentoring, volunteering, or part-time work helps replace the importance and sense of being needed that full-time work once provided. Work itself benefits people, but our current work models are often too pressured. Going from constant availability to complete lack of obligation can be jarring. For mental health, exercise can be as effective as behavioral therapy for depression. Nature also has significant benefits. Even listening to birdsong for 6 minutes can reduce anxiety and depression. Social Security represents one of the few guaranteed, inflation-adjusted, lifetime income sources available to retirees, making claiming decisions critically important. The timing of when to claim benefits significantly impacts the amount received. Claiming at 62 results in permanently reduced benefits, while waiting until full retirement age, 66 to 67, provides full benefits. Delaying beyond full retirement age earns an additional 8% per year until age 70, potentially increasing benefits by 24% for someone with a full retirement age of 67 who delays to 70. This larger benefit base also means larger cost of living adjustments over time. Early claiming at 62 makes sense in 3 situations: poor health with shortened life expectancy, immediate financial need, or for the lower earning spouse in a couple where the higher earner delays. For married couples, strategic planning can maximize survivor benefits, as these are based on what the deceased spouse was collecting. Some investors claim Social Security early to invest those funds in the market, hoping to outperform the guaranteed 8% annual increase from delaying. However, this comparison is only fair against risk-free investments like CDs, which historically offered much lower returns, though recently reaching 4.5 to 5%. Market investments might yield higher returns, but come with significant risk. For many Americans without pensions, Social Security represents their only guaranteed, inflation-adjusted, lifetime income. Since 1975, Social Security benefits have included automatic cost of living adjustments based on the Consumer Price Index. Break-even analysis shows that those who live beyond age 78, below average life expectancy, receive more lifetime benefits by delaying rather than claiming early. Many worry about Social Security's future, but it's politically unlikely that Congress would cut benefits for the approximately 70 million beneficiaries projected by 2033. Instead, lawmakers might gradually raise the full retirement age for future generations, tweak benefit formulas, or potentially tax 100% of Social Security benefits versus today's 85% maximum for higher-income retirees. When delaying Social Security, retirees need strategies for the income gap. This might mean drawing down retirement savings first, or working part-time. For higher-income individuals, drawing down tax-deferred accounts early can reduce future required minimum distributions, potentially lowering future income taxes and Medicare high-income surcharges. For married couples with different ages and earnings histories, a split strategy often works best. The older, higher-earning spouse should delay claiming until 70 to maximize their retirement benefit, while the younger, lower-earning spouse can claim earlier. This approach brings income into the household while ensuring the maximum survivor benefit later. When one spouse dies, the survivor keeps only the larger of the two benefits, resulting in a significant household income reduction, potentially 33%. David Blanchett's research challenges the conventional wisdom that retirees maintain constant inflation-adjusted spending throughout retirement. He discovered what he calls the retirement spending smile. Rather than maintaining constant spending, most retirees' spending declines in real terms as they age through their 70s and 80s. This isn't because they're running out of money. Even wealthy households show this pattern. Around ages 90 to 95, average spending may tick up due to healthcare costs for some retirees, creating the smile pattern. This spending decline isn't necessarily bad news. It means retirement savings may stretch further than traditional models suggest. David emphasizes the importance of having guaranteed income to cover essential expenses, especially for younger retirees who want to maximize their lifestyle but face market risks. Social Security provides the most efficient guaranteed income, making it worthwhile to maximize benefits by delaying claiming. Having this guaranteed income foundation allows retirees to spend more confidently overall while being adaptable with discretionary spending during market downturns. After maximizing Social Security, annuities can provide additional guaranteed lifetime income. David believes the behavioral benefits of annuities may exceed their economic benefits. They simplify retirement by eliminating the mental exhaustion of managing a portfolio with uncertain lifespan and investment returns. The security of knowing income will continue regardless of longevity can radically simplify retirement planning and spending decisions. While healthcare costs typically increase later in life, David notes that transferring this risk through insurance is beneficial both economically and behaviorally. Though many view home equity as a last resort for long-term care expenses, Medicaid remains an option after exhausting other resources. Research shows that after health shocks, people initially spend more on medical expenses, but then typically consume less overall as they become less active and travel less. While the 4% rule provides a simple starting point, David emphasizes that withdrawal planning should be adaptive based on individual circumstances, longevity, and investment approach. Traditional models assume retirees don't adjust spending based on market performance, which is unrealistic. Incorporating spending flexibility can significantly increase safe initial withdrawal rates, with 5 to 6% being reasonable for many households. Jonathan Guyton combines financial advisory practice with retirement research expertise. He's known for creating the Guardrails flexible spending system, which allows portfolio withdrawals to vary with investment performance while maintaining upper and lower limits. This flexibility typically supports higher initial withdrawal rates than static approaches like the 4% rule. Jonathan emphasizes knowing your core spending needs as the critical starting point for retirement planning. He warns that retirees often underestimate their spending power by assuming temporary expenses, weddings, home improvements, bucket list travel, must be repeated annually for life. The focus should be identifying recurring expenses that will persist throughout retirement rather than relying on simplified rules like needing 80% of working income. Retiree spending doesn't follow the flat, inflation-adjusted pattern assumed by the 4% rule. Jonathan confirms David Blanchett's retirement smile: higher spending early in retirement, especially on travel, tapering off mid-retirement, then rising again for healthcare costs later. He suggests treating different expense types differently. Core expenses might follow inflation-adjusted withdrawals, while discretionary spending, like travel, should come from dedicated pots rather than annual budgets. For example, a $100,000 travel fund spent over 10 years feels more liberating than limiting yourself to $4,000 annually using the 4% rule. Jonathan explains why flexible withdrawal strategies are superior to rigid ones like the 4% rule. The 4% rule is like driving without brakes or mirrors, designed for worst-case scenarios, forcing unnecessarily low withdrawals. Variable strategies allow retirees to tap the brakes during market downturns and spend more when markets perform well. Unlike most financial decisions where what feels good isn't optimal, saving versus spending, buying low versus high, with retirement withdrawals, your instincts align with good financial practice. Reducing spending during market stress feels right and is right. Jonathan recommends a guardrails approach that starts with a higher withdrawal rate, 5.3% versus 3.8% for inflexible plans, but establishes upper and lower boundaries, 20%, that trigger 10% spending adjustments when crossed. This approach allows higher initial withdrawals than fixed systems while maintaining sustainability. For sourcing retirement cash flows, Jonathan recommends first using interest and dividends, then selling overweight asset classes to maintain target allocations. This natural rebalancing approach means selling from fixed income when stocks are down, avoiding selling low, and vice versa. He emphasizes maintaining significant short-term bond positions, particularly short-term treasury securities, to provide withdrawal sources during market downturns. For retirees, fixed income serves to buy time when markets are down, unlike younger investors who can wait out downturns. Ramit Sethi focuses on what he calls primordial financial decisions, fundamental choices about spending versus saving that precede specific investment decisions. His central philosophy is targeting spending toward what truly matters while cutting ruthlessly elsewhere, a principle that remains important throughout life, including retirement. Ramit challenges the notion that we get better at mindful spending as we age, arguing that cultural messaging consistently undermines conscious spending. Society tells us to cut back on everything, especially items often labeled as frivolous. He rejects blanket rules like spend on experiences, not things, encouraging instead honest self-reflection about what truly brings joy, whether that's travel or a nice sweater. He suggests creating a worry-free number, a spending threshold below which you simply don't worry about expenses. As we earn more, we often forget to adjust this number upward from what it was in our 20s. This liberates you from agonizing over small purchases and prevents wasting time checking accounts daily, a habit that keeps you in the weeds rather than living your rich life. For bigger picture financial goals, Ramit recommends a 5-year bucket list exercise. Partners should separately write down what would make life rich and meaningful in the next 5 years, not mundane activities like dinner downtown, but aspirational goals like learning Spanish or visiting the Eiffel Tower. Calculate costs, set target dates, and commit to making these experiences happen. While bucket lists matter, Ramit agrees that daily small joys are equally important. It's yes and yes. He believes in living a rich life today and an even richer life tomorrow. For older adults especially, having something to look forward to creates purpose and anticipation. Meanwhile, everyday pleasures need not be expensive. Ramit shares how buying a second French press for $29 eliminated his daily frustration of washing it every morning. Ramit challenges the absurdity of saving money your entire life without developing the skill to spend it meaningfully. He notes that retirees often worry more about money than anyone else, even those with millions, because how you feel about money isn't correlated with how much you have. He shares stories of wealthy FIRE adherents who still drive miles to save pennies on gas, trapped in anxiety about spending rather than creating meaning. Most importantly, he emphasizes that today is our best day for health and relationships. There's no virtue in avoiding discussions about mortality, and acknowledging our limited time can motivate us to use money purposefully. He challenges the common excuses of saving for healthcare costs or passing money to children, encouraging retirees to model meaningful spending for their families instead. Wade Fow introduces the concept of retirement income styles, explaining that understanding your personal preferences can save time and guide better retirement planning decisions. With colleague Alex Murgia, he developed the Retirement Income Style Awareness, RISA, to help retirees identify their optimal approach based on two key dimensions: safety first versus probability-based preferences, and commitment versus optionality orientation. The retirement planning landscape features competing approaches: investment-based, bucketing, and income flooring strategies, with passionate advocates for each method. The RISA framework helps individuals cut through conflicting advice by identifying their natural preferences along two key dimensions: safety first versus probability-based income approaches, and commitment versus optionality mindsets. Probability-based retirement approaches rely on the equity risk premium, the expectation that stocks will outperform bonds over time to support higher retirement living standards. Those with safety-first preferences, however, want contractual protections for their core spending needs rather than market dependence. Safety-first income sources include Social Security, optimized for longevity protection, traditional pensions, individual bonds held to maturity, and potentially annuities to fill income gaps. Even safety-first retirees typically maintain some stock investments for growth potential, but with the comfort of knowing essential expenses are covered regardless of market performance. Safety-first income sources include Social Security, optimized for longevity protection, traditional pensions, individual bonds held to maturity, and potentially annuities to fill income gaps. Even safety-first retirees typically maintain some stock investments for growth potential, but with the comfort of knowing essential expenses are covered regardless of market performance. Safety-first income sources include Social Security, optimized for longevity protection, traditional pensions, individual bonds held to maturity, and potentially annuities to fill income gaps. Even safety-first retirees typically maintain some stock investments for growth potential, but with the comfort of knowing essential expenses are covered regardless of market performance. Wade contrasts optionality orientation, valuing flexibility with assets, comfort with income fluctuations, and ability to respond to new opportunities, with commitment orientation, where retirees prefer finding a solution that addresses lifetime income needs so they can take income planning off their to-do list. Many financial advisors gravitate toward total return approaches, partly due to fee incentives, but also because retirement planning is relatively new, dating back only to Bill Bengen's 4% rule research in 1994. Retirement introduces unique risks not present during accumulation: longevity risk, unknown time horizon, and sequence of returns risk. Market downturns early in retirement can permanently damage portfolios. Time segmentation, or bucketing, addresses the needs of retirees who want both safety and optionality. This approach divides assets into different time horizons: short-term buckets holding fixed income assets to fund immediate expenses with contractual protections, and long-term buckets focused on growth investments. The income protection approach prioritizes contractual guarantees for core expenses through fixed annuities, either immediate annuities or deferred income annuities. This approach creates a protected income floor that covers essential expenses, allowing remaining assets to be invested more aggressively for discretionary spending. RiskWrap combines probability-based investing with commitment orientation. It appeals to those comfortable with market risk but who want protection against outliving their money. Variable annuities with lifetime income benefits exemplify this approach, allowing aggressive market investing while providing guaranteed lifetime income if markets perform poorly. Jordan Grummet, a former physician who now works as a hospice doctor, shares insights learned from those at the end of their lives. His message centers on making the most of our time on earth allocations and ensuring we leave no regrets, emphasizing it's never too late to pursue what matters most to us. Working with the dying has profoundly affected his perspective. When people learn they have 6 months or less to live, it clarifies what truly matters. The most common regret is not pursuing meaningful activities due to lack of time, money, or societal expectations. He shares the story of a man who paused his corporate career to attempt climbing Mount Everest despite others' objections. Though he didn't reach the summit and later died of leukemia in his 40s, his mountain experience remained his most treasured memory. Jordan emphasizes people don't regret trying and failing, they regret never trying at all. The life review process, examining major life events, successes, failures, key relationships, and unfulfilled dreams, shouldn't be reserved for the dying. Jordan recommends doing this at retirement, asking, "If I had 6 months to live, what would I regret never having the courage to do?" Many people experience purpose anxiety, stress about finding their life's meaning. Jordan suggests we can have both little p purposes, everyday activities that bring joy, and big p purposes, world-changing ambitions. While only a small percentage achieve big p purposes, little p purposes, things we enjoy regardless of outcome, can be equally meaningful and leave lasting legacies. These purposes can change over time and multiply. There's no requirement to stick with one forever. The key is continuously asking, am I filling my time with something meaningful to me? Purpose isn't something that falls into our laps. We create it through intentional exploration and investment in activities that resonate with us. Jordan shares his personal journey of purpose, which began at age 7 when his physician father died and he decided to become a doctor to take his place. Though this purpose drove him to help others, it ultimately wasn't fulfilling. Despite the financial security and prestige of medicine, he realized his true purpose involved communication, writing, podcasting, and public speaking. For those beginning the process of self-discovery and purpose finding, Jordan recommends reflecting on moments that sparked excitement so intense they couldn't sleep, childhood dreams repeatedly postponed, and activities they'd do even without payment. He suggests examining childhood passions, like his own love of baseball cards, which often revealed deeper connections to purpose and community. Jordan approaches time not as a commodity to buy or sell, but as moments we fill with activities. The art of subtraction involves intentionally removing what doesn't serve us while adding purposeful activities. This doesn't require radical shifts. It can be incremental. The aim is becoming more thoughtful about how you spend your moments, recognizing you'll never reach 100% purposeful activity, and that's perfectly fine.